Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
God is good and God is faithful. And every day we could just pour it out to Him, the praises that we have in our lives. It's just what we choose to look at is the praises in our life. But God is faithful right where we're standing at now to lead us on a journey of life so that we can celebrate and claim victory in His name, Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are grateful for today. We're thankful for just the time we have, Lord, in Your name. We're thankful just to be here, Lord, to proclaim Your name, just to be able to spend time with You, God, in just this building, Lord, that is not the church, Heavenly Father. We are Your church, God. And may we forever remember that, Heavenly Father. May we be Your hands. May we be Your feet, God. And we also want to pray for those that right where they're standing, Lord, maybe they feel defeated at this moment. God, may they look to the heavens and realize that they have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And He died on a cross for all of us. May we lift our voices, may we lift our arms in praise to You. And Heavenly Father, may we just glorify Your name this morning during this service. Heavenly Father, may we just preach from Your word, God. May the words just pour into our heart and laminate our heart, God, just with the biblical truths that You have left us, God. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. If you haven't greeted someone, please greet someone. Can never do enough greeting. Well, good morning, good morning. And my name is Jason Clark, and along with my brother-in-law, Daniel Cazenave, we are the lead pastors of the Bridge Church, and we are glad you came with us. If it's your first, second time with us, we greatly appreciate you being here. Those that keep coming back and just part of this family, man, we're forever grateful. And like we've said from the beginning, and I will continue to say it week in and week out, we didn't believe God just sent us to lead a ministry, but He sent us to lead a family. And we got some time this weekend, even though it's a little cloudy today, we got some time yesterday to spend time with our neighbors, the neighborhood right behind us, University Park. And we got some time to introduce ourselves to that neighborhood, roughly 275 homes, and understand that our vision was that, yes, we have great Sunday gatherings together in this public environment, but that we could meet people in their neighborhoods, that we could not only be in community, but be inside the community. And yesterday we got that opportunity as we spent some time at University Park with that, and the kids got to jump on bouncy houses. We had hamburgers, hot dogs, chips, and you know, all those that gave yesterday as far as their time, we greatly appreciate it. But it was just an awesome time to see, where you just had this collective group of people come together and just have fun. There was no strings attached, there was no fear. We even had the local security guard who just hung out the whole time, which was great. It was great. He loved the event to see the community sense to it, and in the times that we are in, we're just thankful that we can still look at times like that. And yesterday, we also had a team from Crossroads. As you know, some of you may not know, Crossroads Douglasville was our sending church. They sent us here to Bluffton, South Carolina, and supported us along this way and continue to support us. And we had a team from Crossroads that got to join us yesterday. So Crossroads Douglasville was up here along with the Bridge Church as we got to feed into that. And also coming on the tail end of that, because I do not want to forget that coming off of another exciting piece of news from Crossroads is that we also have Crossroads Next Plant, which is Crossroads of Carindale. We have Justin McKinney and his wife Stacy sitting up front. Yeah, absolutely. Is they're about to continue to lead the mission for Christ and put another life-giving church in the area that's needed and continue to pour out into a community. And that's what we're here for, to continue to plant churches, to continue to proclaim the gospel. And that is our mission as we are Christians, as we are part of the Lord's army. And we are here today for the conclusion of week three of this series that we called Gaining Ground. Week one, Pastor Daniel came up and he challenged you personally. He said, where in your life is a place that maybe you could take a step of faith? Where is a place inside of your walk with Jesus Christ that you could take a step forward, little by little, understanding that this movement would be little by little as we continue to gain ground in our relationship in the context of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then last week, you got to hear from me. And last week, I introduced the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. That not all like to put a high sense of awareness to this, but it is biblical to understand that there is a battle of good versus evil. And that battle will continue until the day that the devil is thrown in the lake of fire. So we came to the realization that there is a spiritual war around us. There is a war against Christianity, and sometimes that is physical, but we wanted to spend time in the spiritual aspect. And I left you with three questions last week, three questions that I asked you. I said, number one, where is the devil fighting you in your life? To understand that the devil wants to intervene in your life in your greatest weakness. Your greatest weakness is where he will meet you at. Your greatest weakness is where he'll knock on the door. Your greatest weakness is where he'll see you each and every time. Number two, I ask you, are you prepared to stand your ground during this battle? Are you prepared to stand for what you believe in? Are you prepared to stand on your faith during this battle? Number three, I asked you, which is a very personal question, are you winning or are you losing this war? Are you winning or are you losing this war? Because understand that we are dealing with an enemy who wants to hit you hard inside of your finances. He wants to hit you in your marriages. He wants to strain personal relationships that you have with one another. He wants to all out attack you. As we've preached since week one, John 10:10, he wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy your life. He wants your soul. There is a war that was taking place, and it is taking place for your mind, it is taking place for your heart, and it is taking place for your soul. To understand, the devil does not rejoice when souls go to heaven. He rejoices when souls are sent to hell. That is his mission. That is what he does. And that is what he wants from you and he wants from me. And as we entered this last week, I read one piece from Ephesians where Paul was coming into to Ephesians 6 to let us know what kind of what we're facing here. And he said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And as we go forward this morning, we're going to pick up in Ephesians 6. So if you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to Ephesians 6 as we're going to pick up in verse 13 this morning. As we prepare to read this, though, I want to prepare your mind. And I want to prepare your mind for what we're about to encounter this morning. Understand that this is war, and we are in this war. And understand, as we read this section of scripture from Paul, as he is telling us what God has given us, understand we are preparing for battle. We are preparing to win this battle against evil. And also understand that as we do this, as we read this scripture tomorrow, to understand that you are part of something much greater than yourself. You are part of the Lord's army. You are part of this neighborhood, this community of believers in Christ who together are fighting this battle against the evil forces. Amen. And we have to understand that this war, this combat is what you and I will fight. And as we identified last week, that the more you know of Christ, the more your personal relationship goes deeper into Christ, the more you pray, the more you seek, the more you love, the more the devil knows your name. But take note that the more you love Christ, the more you pray to Christ, the more you read of Christ, the more you just become engulfed into the supreme love that he calls for, the more you know on how to defeat the devil. So while he knows your name, you also know how to defeat him. And as we open our Bibles this morning, we're at Ephesians 6. We're going to start right here at verse 13. And understand, I'm going to teach straight through this because each part is paramount. Each part is so important to understand what God has given you. He is not sending you on a hunt. He is not saying that this is some far mysterious thing that you need to go find. He is telling you right where it is and what he has given to you. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the devil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And I think this piece of scripture right here is so paramount for us, because understand, he's not telling you if evil comes into your life. He says when evil comes to your life. So we're on prep mode to understand evil will come into my life. And he's saying to stand your ground, to not go backwards. Stand where you are in your ground. Stand against what the evil wants to do in your life. Please understand here. Don't give up what you fought so hard already to obtain. Don't go backwards in your relationship with Jesus Christ because the devil whispers in your ear. Don't make these changes in your life just to give them back to his hands. Don't eliminate addictions that you've had in your life and you fought so hard to not be an addict anymore just to give it back and just to have it one more time when he whispers in your ear over what you need. Don't trailblaze in your local churches and step out in faith to say, I want to be a small group leader. I really feel that my heart, I'm being led to start a new ministry here. I want to join the men's ministry. Even though I've never been a part of any small group in my life, I want to be part of it. I want to start a women's ministry. I want to take care of divorce care. I want to start a place for single parents. And then we listen to the whisper that says, but you're unqualified. We listen to the whisper that says, remember where you came from. You're a hypocrite. You're not equipped to lead this ministry. Don't give it up. Don't stand on that. Stand firm in verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, Understand here that Paul, as we dig into this, Paul is comparing what God is giving us here. He's comparing it with Roman military gear. That's what he's going, verse by verse, comparing it with Roman military gear. And each piece represents a piece of God's strength that he extends to us when we become his children. When we become his children, this is for you and this is for me. And the belt of truth is what he mentions first. The belt of truth, because without truth, we are lost. Without truth, we are at the ploy, and the schemes of the devil will surely overpower us with his ploys because we do not know the truth of God. Why is reading our Bible so important? Why do we have daily reading? Why should we set a time just to spend time in the Word of God? Because that's what prevents us from having scripture twisted and perverted into what someone else wants us to believe what God was saying, because we never read the Word of God for ourselves. That's why we stay in the Word of God. That's why we stay attuned to what he has, so that he can speak his truth to us, not someone else can speak their truth into us. We hear straight from God and his Word. And when we do this, when we put on this breastplate of righteousness, we're understanding that this is the righteousness that was bought on the cross by Jesus Christ. These are not our acts. Our acts did not buy us righteousness. This was Jesus, and on the cross, it purchased for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A salvation, a breastplate is issued to each repentant sinner. It is specifically designed by God to protect our heart and soul from evil and deception that the devil wants to put into your life and into my life. Our own righteous acts are no match for Satan's attack alone. Driving home the point, and we drove it home last week, that on our own, we will lose this war. Without the power of Jesus Christ, we will succumb to the devil, we will succumb to the evil of his ways, and we will lose this war. Without standing firm for the righteousness, without having the belt of truth, we will be twisted to do it one more time, because you can ask forgiveness one more time. Not understanding that that one more time may take you down a road that you never could have seen, because he hit you blindsided. Stand firm with the belt of truth. Understand his word and the righteousness that comes from his son. In verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The New Living Translation words it like this: for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. The gospel of peace is the message that he gives to those that trust in him and believe in him. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. It comes with the assurance from God that we are his children, and nothing can snatch us from his hands. There is no greater peace in the universe to understand that you are a child of God. He has written your story all the way to completion. And as a child of God, upon completion of that story, you will reside with the Heavenly Father in heaven. This peace is what we need to comprehend sometimes when we see the things that go on around us in this world. If we search for peace in people or things, there's only one result that will take place, and it's letdown. God's goodness and faithfulness will see us through the ugliness of the world that we see around us. This peace is what we need when we just don't comprehend what's going on around us. And bear with me here, because this will touch so many of us, and it'll touch myself. When Satan comes at you with one of the biggest flaming missiles that he'll ever send your way, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have let this happen. If God loved you, he would have not let that happen to your family. If God loved you, he would have not let that happen to your child. If God loved you, he would have not let that happen to your spouse, to your parent. But we dig our feet in to the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And we tell him, as Romans 8:28, it is written, all things work together for the good to whom who love God and are called according to his purpose. I can think of so many scenarios in my life that we've walked through, that when it took place, you could see the evil inside of it. But at the end, the outcome, the only thing I could say was God. What was sent into the world to destroy families, what was sent into the world to destroy marriages, what was sent into the world to destroy children, we grab hold of the peace, we take deeper steps in our relationship with Christ, and we watch the power of Jesus Christ work in those around us. We watch the power of Jesus Christ intersect into lives that would have never seen it had it not been for that tragedy. All things will work for his good. And this becomes a personal lens. Will we view it from the earthly lens that we know is full of sin and full of evil on earth, or will we view it from our Heavenly Father's lens who loves us? What lens will we view it from? We may not necessarily understand everything that takes place, but we must understand that God is with us in everything that takes place. Verse 16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The shield of faith, Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good testimony. The word faith in the New Testament is translated from the Greek word pistis. And when we look up this word, we look up faith, whether you look up Webster's Dictionary, whether you look it up into online, whether you look it up into the Expository Dictionary, it all results back to this same thing as a firm belief. Is what it comes to, a firm belief. So an unshakable belief in the promises of God, an unshakable belief in the unseen, an unshakable belief in what we've been told in his word is true. Our faith protects us. And why I gave you a beautiful definition, Hebrews speaks so beautiful to it, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, to understand it will come true. But it becomes a question, what is your definition of faith? When it comes in front of our face and we say, what is your definition of faith? Is your faith strong enough to believe in the goodness and promises of God, even though you can't see it all the way through to the end? Even though you don't understand how you're going to come from here to there, but do you believe in the promises of God? Do you believe that he will see you through it? Do you believe he will fight this battle toe for toe with you and walk with you through this journey? Does your faith allow for you to still be strong in the midst of seeing people around you who don't, in our eyes, make sense of why they are gone, but they are now gone from earth? Does your faith allow you to see the goodness through it? Does your faith allow you to understand why innocent children are taken from this earth, but there is a story much greater written than those innocent children taken from earth? Will your faith see you all the way through to the end? One of the most challenging questions you could ever be asked, one of the most challenging pieces of your relationship is building your faith with Jesus Christ, because it is the shield. It will extinguish every fiery dart, because if your faith is weak, imagine taking a piece out the shield. Every area of your faith that lacks, imagine taking a piece out of the shield. How much of your body is exposed for the fiery darts from the devil? This is our personal, little by little, where we gain ground. Faith is believing in God's promises and seeing them through to the end. And if we're not careful, we put too much weight on what we see. Last week, we came into Genesis, and we talked about where in Genesis 3:1, the devil introduced the greatest piece of perversion and twisting of our scriptures that tripped up Eve and still trips us up today. As the serpent began by saying, but did God really say? Did God really specifically say that is a sin? Did God really specifically tell you could not do that? And as fate, as we know the story of Eve, gave in and she looked at it. Let's look at Genesis 3:6. Please don't turn. I'm going to read it out to you. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. She ate the lies of the devil. She ate what was she saw in her eyes as good. One of our code is the bridge code, and you put it on the black shirts, is that you see some of them wearing it. Says we walk by faith, not sight. We walk by God's promises, not what I see out of my own eyes. We walk by the promises in God's word, not what I'm seeing straight in front of me. What she saw wasn't the true. What she saw was stronger than her faith. But we must be led by the promises of God, the promise that starts first at salvation. That with belief in Christ comes eternal life with Christ. The assurance of our salvation is the defense against anything the enemy will ever throw at us, because he cannot take it from you. The shield of faith All fiery darts is what it extinguishes. It's our groundwork. It's our framework. It's what we build around us as our walk as we gain little by little. The more we know in Christ, the more we believe in Christ, the more we surrender to Christ, the greater the shield of faith becomes, because you know what you see is not necessarily true because God's already spoke to you what is true. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, and understand this is Paul here asking the people to pray for him because he knows what he's doing. He's delivering the message of Jesus Christ everywhere he goes, and he will be combated everywhere he goes. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely as I should. It's our open line of communication with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is our time with God. It says, come, pray on all occasions, all requests, speak to God. Pray with the Spirit. Pray with the Holy Spirit and ask him to fight you through these attacks. Remember, don't give up what you fought for. Pray firm in who you fought with. Pray firm in who's promised you victory and deliverance through it. Praying for those around us, praying for our families. Men, as we lay our families down at night, are we covering them in prayer? Are we praying over our children at night? Are we praying over our spouse at night for the defeats and the attempted defeats that the enemy will throw at them? Wives, are we covering our husbands in prayer to lead well? Are we asking for the strength for them to lead well? Are we protecting them from the attacks? Because in warfare, who do we attack first? Those that lead. Amen. And God has called man to lead the house. So who do you think the devil wants to destroy in your house? The man in your house. So we pray together as a family. We unite together through bond. We unite through our conversation with prayer to protect us through these attacks, to protect us, to keep our families together. Parents, praying for your children that they will stand firm in the worldly attacks they will encounter each and every day. And if we haven't noticed, those attacks have not only physical in nature, but the spiritual attacks on our children are unprecedented at this moment. There are more avenues to embed images and words in our children's brains than ever before. The devices they carry on them, the devices we give them, the things that we give them will destroy them. We must speak in truth to them. We must pray for our children. We must understand that this is speaking to our children as well. This is personal. The shield of faith is for them. How will they never know it if we don't teach it to them? We must be with our children and our families, for this war is raging against us, and we must put on the full armor of God, and we will fight against our enemies. And now it comes to us here, right here today, and the question becomes, do you have the full armor of God? That's the question that's personal. Do you have the full armor of God? Do you have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the peace of the gospel, the shield of faith? Do you have the helmet of salvation? Have you received these? It's not a scavenger hunt for it. It's not a mystery box to go unlock, but it is surrender of different parts and pieces of our lives to receive each piece. It's to gain ground little by little, to keep strengthening our armor, to keep putting on the armor of God day in, day out. It's relinquishing my ways, relinquishing my plans, my order, my thoughts. It's stopping inviting the foothold into the enemy into my lives at certain points and then attempt to rebuke it like I don't know how it got there.
Come on, that's good teaching.
It is say, God, I am yours. And where your will be done. Understand, it says your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not your will be done on earth, not as in heaven. Heaven coming to earth. How will the will of heaven get on earth? By you and me. By praying in the Spirit, by putting on the armor of God, to understand that we are sent Christians to a mission field to deliver the word of God. Our love for Christ must be supreme. We were told, as Jesus was once asked in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment ever given? Now understand, we're talking, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. All the commandments that have ever been given in the Bible, teacher, what is the greatest one? And he responded this way. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your mind. Love him with your mind, your heart, and your soul. It's the same thing. We're given the armor of God to protect. Because this is the war. What God wants us to love with, the enemy wants to take from us. What we are asked to give God this supreme love, the devil wants to sell it short. But the second commandment introduces a very interesting conversation piece where we talk about who is your neighbor. Because the concept of this sermon series was that we would gain ground, not only personally, but for the kingdom of Christ. Not only that could my faith become strong, not only could I know Christ at a deeper level and continue that through the entire lifespan of my life, but will I gain ground for the kingdom of Christ? As I shared last week, and there's disparity in the stats, some of these will say 3%, some will say 5% will ever plan on sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. Out of all the Christians in the world, somewhere between 3 and 5% are the only ones who ever plan on sharing their faith. And often we see the enemy destroying those around us. And with all of our armor of God that we know that is provided for us and them, we watch. We watch the enemy rip them apart. We watch marriages get destroyed. We watch people go down road and road and road of addiction and suffering and pain, and we watch. We are suited up with the armor of God. We are suited up to be missionaries of him. There is no call for us to be self-seeking, self-righteous people who never share the gospel. There is no call anywhere in God's word who said, know a lot about me and never tell a soul about me. That's not the call of Christianity. That's not the call that God has placed in our life. It is the exact opposite, to reach the lost, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them God's word. This is what the whole war is over. The war is to take you and stop you from being in a relationship with Christ and never sharing the gospel. That is what the evil in the world is here to do, is to stop you from ever thinking that it includes you. To listen to the whisper that my pastor has a loud mouth and he can reach a whole lot of people. That my pastor will share his faith with those. No, you have people waiting on you. You have people who need you. I don't work where you work. I don't go inside your house in the evening time. I don't eat at the same restaurants you eat at the exact moment. I don't know who's there. This is the call to you. If we internalize and never love our neighbor as we are commanded, the second greatest commandment, we're not going to gain ground for the kingdom of God. There's no disparity here that says my neighbor is the Christian. My neighbor is the saved one. That's not the call. It's your neighbor. Every man, woman, and child, that's your neighbor. And they need you. And they need me. They need us to be faithful. God has not given us the armor to sit in a shelter of cover, but to go into your workplace suited up. To come home suited up. To go into your neighborhood suited up. Because we are the Lord's army. I think back as a kid, we used to sing this song, I am in the Lord's army. And in children's church, we used to get our little march on. And we get our little march on. But little did I know how much truth was in that as a little kid. That as my maturity in Christ continued to grow, as I continue to do it, as I continue to become closer to Christ and realize as I look around me and see, it's a lot of broken people. Amen. It's a lot of people who need to hear Jesus. It's a lot of people who need to surrender to their own ways. It's a lot of people who need to find the Heavenly Father, find the peace that he has, find the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, so they can stop being lied to time and time again. So this is my call to you. Will we suit up and gain ground for the kingdom of God? Because I can't answer the question for you. That is your question to answer for yourself. Will we make a difference in our area? Will we live a Christ-centered life that is so unique and so questionable? And I've said it before in here, will you live a questionable life? Will you live a life that raises questions as to why would you do that for that person? Because look, let me tell you what God has done for me. Will you go hang out with the individual that no one else is hanging out with, that we know is bound by a whole lot of sin in his life, but proclaim the same gospel that you have in your life to him or her? It becomes the personal question. Share your faith, your story that you have. Share your battles. Be in community with one another. Be in your neighborhood. Be present. God has given each of us something unique. God has gifted it his own way, each individual. As we believe Ephesians 4, we have pastors, we have prophets, we have apostles, evangelists, teachers. They're in the church. They're right here. All those things I just said are right here. For me personally, it becomes the things like coaching my kids' sports teams. Because I get to love these people who have no idea who their kids are. I get to love on their kid. And we get to have conversation, and at one point it'll always bound the question, what do you do? Or why do you do that? And guess what? Let me tell you a little story. And from that point, I get to start a relationship, a connection with that person to spread. Often I meet people playing sports and in basketball or soccer. I get to meet them right where they are. I'm not asking them to come with me to church. I'm gonna meet them right where they are. And I get to spend time with them just showing them something different. Showing them that you can be passionate about this game that you play. Show them that you can be competitive in this game you play, but it's just played a little different. And it opens the question, why? Why do you do that? And it may take 3 years. One of the persons who I prayed for many, many times, it took me 4 years to ever open the door and share a story about Jesus that they wanted to listen to. And it all came off the question, why do you and your wife dedicate so much time to other people? After 4 years, let me tell you a little story. Share your story. Be encouraged to share your faith. Because this is the way I view my judgment in front of Christ. And this is personal. This is my judgment in front of Christ. Do I want to stand for Christ on judgment to say, and he asks, but why didn't you seek the lost? Why didn't you share Christ with your neighbor? When you saw the broken man that you passed every day, why didn't you share my name with him? Because I ran from God at a point in time in my life too. And I have a remembrance that's right on my arm of a young man who I did not lead to heaven. And he doesn't get another chance. Not my responsibility for his choice, but I definitely didn't plant a seed. I didn't water a seed in his life. I didn't speak truth in his life. I encouraged his life right where it was. And as he spoke audibly over not having a belief in God, at that point in time in my life, I never spoke truth into his. That's on me. And that's my why. Because from that day forward, and as many years as I live here, my best friend who's tattooed on my arm, who passed away at an extremely young age, who seemed completely unfair, who I still don't understand the full measure of what took place that day, is my reason why. That I will continue to preach the gospel. I will continue to love people right where they are. I will continue to love those that have loved Christ forever and those that have never loved him because they're my neighbor. And that's the second greatest commandment ever given. And the first, to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Palm Sunday, as we're closing here. Palm Sunday, Jesus rode in as the king. And the same people who were going to celebrate him, the same people who were going to drop their cloaks and wave the palm tree branches at him, the same people were the same people who were going to turn on him when it came down to it. But next week we get to celebrate where this all came true. Where in your darkest, deepest battle you were handed victory. Where in the moment you thought you couldn't turn again, the moment you never thought you'd be loved again, you were handed love. You were handed grace. And through our repentance, we were handed provision. We were handed the armor of God. And we were handed a God who loves you, he loves me, he loves us all. You have in front of your desk this morning, Pastor Daniel's gonna come up with it, but you have an Easter invite. And this is my thing, I don't wanna get on the tangent to say invite people to the church so we can just overflood the church's doors. But for some of you, that's gonna be where you are in evangelism right now. That's the way you can share Christ right now. That's the most comforting thing you can do is hand somebody and say, please come with me, because next week we will celebrate freedom. We will celebrate freedom from sin. We will celebrate freedom from the outcome. We will celebrate life in Christ as he rose again. So when you leave today, please take that with you and view it as a label of evangelism that you could feed into somebody. You may even meet somebody you never met before by simply handing them a card. It's an in into somebody's life. It's a way to start a conversation in somebody's life. If you would stand with me, please. As we stand, I'm going to pray for us. And we're also going to take up offering right after I pray for us here. As I pray for the offering and I pray for you, we're going to take up offering. But I want you to hear me out. As I say this prayer, I will also always open the door for those that are far from Christ to come to know Christ. What that does is start a relationship. That's the first time you can say, I am here and I want to get to know you. Here I am. And bow your head and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, may we forever, forever be grateful to your name, God. May we announce your name into the world. You are the King of Kings, Lord. You have just united us under your blood, Lord. May you just, the sacrifice on the cross that day, Heavenly Father, may we just live through it to continue to proclaim your name, God. And there may be people this morning who don't have a relationship with you, but there may be people this morning who are being defeated in battle, God. There may be people this morning who feel that they cannot come on the other side. And if that is you, you can say this prayer out loud. You can say it. But please understand, as the scripture calls, come from your heart. God, just lay it on his feet. Lay it at the cross. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I am a sinner. And I have fell short. But Heavenly Father, please come into my life and lead me.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.